Blog Talk Radio.
With everything that's been going on, this has to be said.
All of my life, one thing hasn't changed. In my lowest moments, in your heart, I remain. Who can I trust? I've been lied to so much. If not for your grace, I know that I could have made it without you.
Couldn't have made it.
I would be a mess without you.
That's real.
You're the one I always.
I've been a mess without you. I make this confession without you.
You have never.
Never.
So
never.
Here it is.
Never forsake you. Never let me down. You never, never, ever let me down. And probably will never, ever let me down. That's what I like about it. He'll never let you down.
2 Peter 1:3 tells us that. God.
God has given us everything that we need.
That's how I know.
For life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. I have everything.
You have everything. You got to know that. That's why He'll never let you down, because we have everything we need. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints, faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to be able to come to you wherever you at this time and moment. Also, to wish you a glorious day in the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to bring forth the Word of God. I am so, so excited about this week's lesson. Hallelujah. But before we get started, we're going to have a word of prayer. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. We thank you for your word. We thank you for us. Because it's in your word, Father God, we learn who we are and whose we are. It is your word, Father God, that we learn truth. I thank you, Father God, that we everything your word have declared and decreed. I thank you for the identification, Father God, that we are justified according to the word of God in Romans 3:24. We're justified. Matter of fact, we've been declared righteous, Father God, and we are not guilty. Because Romans 8:1 says, now therefore is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Father God, I thank you that we are not condemned, because Romans 8:2 says we are set free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And I believe it, Father God. I believe every bit of it. And 1 Corinthians 1:2 declare that we are sanctified and made acceptable in Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus, Father God, that we're able to be accepted to you. I thank you for it. I thank you for 1 Corinthians 1:30. We are his righteousness in the holy place because we're in Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you for it, Father God. I thank you because 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I thank you, Father, for the new creation, that the old things are passed away, and truly they are, because 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us plainly, Father God, that we received your righteousness and you took ours. So we have a righteousness. We have a righteousness that's not by the law, but it's by grace and truth. Thank you, and we praise you for it. Father God, we ask you to remember Pastor Bale, Father God, who's out and praise God. She's on the road, I'll just put it that way. And I thank you, Father God, that whatever she's doing, touch her, keep her in your sight, keep her in your prayer, keep her in your sight, Father God. Let her continue to walk in your anointing. And Father God, these and all blessings we ask in Christ's name. And for his sakes we pray. Amen and amen. Well, hallelujah, brothers and sisters. I'm excited, man, about this word. This word, Father God, that he's given us. We're talking about repositioning. And this week, we want to talk about one reason to reposition. And you can't reposition it till you get this. It's over in Ephesians 2. I think it's 15. But we're going to check. Man, I tell you, I just thank God for the word. It's so alive. The word of God is alive, people. Hebrews 4:12 says it's a living thing. And that's for real, for real. It's sure enough living. It's alive. So we're going to teach from, I'm going to actually go from the 13th verse through the 15th. I just hate to go right to 15 and you miss this. So I did say Ephesians 2, right? And so I want to go through the – Yeah, through the 15th verse. So we'll go 13 through 15. But now, in Christ Jesus, who sometime were far off, or made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who have made both one and have broken down the middle walls of partition between us. Here it is, having abolished in the flesh, in his flesh, the enemy, even the law of commandment contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twine one new man, so making peace, hallelujah. The Messiah has made things up between us so that we are now together on this, both non-Jews out of self and Jewish insiders, outsiders and insiders. He tore down the wall we use to keep each other at a distance. He repelled the law code that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered more than it helped. Then he set over, instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by century of animosity and all this stuff, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. Now, here's what I want you to get from this. First, we're going to start with "but now." So when you see "but," forget everything that had been said. And now we're finna show up, pay attention. That's what this word really, "but," really means. It means pay attention now. Now in Christ. So you're talking about people that are in Christ Jesus. Not in Jesus Christ, but people who are now in Christ. Not that what was said wasn't important, but this has more significant here when he said, "but now in Christ." So the "but" means, boom, let's put a period there. Stop it, pay attention. But now, those that are in Christ, who at one time was far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now here's what's interesting. See, the Jew really wasn't into Christ. They was into Moses stuff. See, so you had two different groups arguing about who really should be saved, who should eternal life be granted to. So he took the both of them and made one nation. I understand Israel, brother and sister, the Israelites. But let me tell you what, they wasn't in Christ. So he had to come unto his own, and his own receive him not. So even though he came to them, they rejected him like people are doing today. So this week, I'm going to show you something that's going to really blow your mind if you stay with this broadcast this week. It's some stuff I'm going to show you that they was arguing and debating about, and that's why Paul had to tell him, hey, man, Christ done abolished all of that. He done gotten away with that stuff. It's over. And there's people still today still don't want to accept the fact that Christ had done away with it. You know why? There's about four or five reasons I'm going to give you this week. But this week we're going to talk about abolished. Because it's so important that you know that Christ have abolished what he has abolished. So first of all, we're going to look at this word abolish, because it means to end the observance or something. That's what it means. Like such as a law, it's the end of it. To complete, do away with something. That's what it means, to complete, do away with it. And so, a null, for instance. It's been avoided. It's been canceled. Canceled out. It means to be disannulled. It's done away with it. He dissolved whatever it was. Invalid. Invalidate, probably that's a better word. Invalidate. You know, when you strike down something, it means, hey, we don't need it. To make something void, to vacate, if see, why did he have to do that? So he could overhaul the new system, for a better way of saying it, because I want everybody to be in on this, so I'm going to use the word system. He to join us together, to make one. So in order to do that, he had to abolish the old thing, because the old thing didn't have it going on. See? So what he says is that having abolished in his flesh, having done away with this stuff. So this week, brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about even the law. He abolished all the laws of the commandment contained in the ordinance for to make in himself twine one man. So this is what he had to do. And we're going to get into it this week. I'm excited about this because, see, first I'm going to give you a little history, just a tad bit, not much, a tad bit, because I need to move on into this. But you have to understand that we are God's workmanship. We're being created. This new man is being created. But before the new man could really shine, the old had to be abolished. I want you to put that, make notes of that. Because the Jews, they believe in circumcision. So God played with that of the flesh so he could establish circumcision in the heart. And there were some Jews, they still want to practice circumcision. Over the book of Acts, I'm going to show you. And they thought it was blaspheming when they told them, no, we've done away with this here. That's been abolished. I'm going to show you that this week. I just want to point out some things that's just going to be awesome. He abolished, when he was on the cross, man, that cross just get bigger and bigger every day. What happened on that cross? It wasn't no accident. He had to go to the cross. And there's a lot of things there. The cross meaning men's was crossed up. They didn't know if they were going up or down, right or left. They were crossed. So Christ had to die. His body had to hang on that cross to bring down the middle walls of partition between us. That's awesome. And when you see this, what all he did while he was on the cross, you have to think of it like this, brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to calm down, because I don't want to miss some real key points. Christ had to make the uncircumcised and the circumcised become one flesh, so he done away with circumcision. He abolished that. Anything pertaining to the law, boom, he got rid of it. Now, you may not like that. Moses' law, his ordinance, boom, he had to do away with it. That meant going to church. For a better way of understanding this, they weren't to go to the building anymore. Why do you think he rent the temple? So we're going to talk about that this week. Why he had to do this stuff. See, all of this has a great significance, brothers and sisters. So the Jews and the Gentile alike could be guilty of spiritual pride. So we want to deal with that this week. When I think about Christ had to come and give the gift of salvation. So whatever you your pride was, forget it. If it was following the law, if you didn't have one, whatever, boom. It was, all that stuff was done away with. So Christ could establish this new order. And this new order was for us to let Christ become our minister of the true sanctuary. See? So the Jews, they were thinking that they had faith and tradition that would elevate them above the Gentile. But not so fast, my brother, my sister, for trusting in their achievement, for trusting in their power, for trusting in their political assignment and all of this stuff, they were yet, and even some of their spiritual pride, because they would brag about them being of the seed of Abraham, and it really wasn't. But they wanted to hold fast to that. They wanted to hold fast to the laws of Moses, and they would brag about this stuff. But in essence, they were spiritually dead. They was like walking zombies because they didn't understand that salvation was for everybody. So instead of them humbling and thanking God for what he had done and encourage others who might be struggling in their faith, that's how I'm doing away with all that. So, before Christ was coming, the Gentile and the Jews kept apart. Now, there's going to be a lot of teaching you're going to find, especially among the Caucasian brothers. They want to teach that the Gentile were black people and teach that the white people was Jews, which all of that is a lie. Because, see, some people, they brag on their nationality. But when you think about history and even America and how we got over here and the fight for religious freedom, which part of it is in Savannah, Georgia, they kept slaves because they didn't want them teaching about Christ. So that can be traced back to the book of Acts. They didn't want us talking about Christ, period. When you talked about Christ, so that's why Paul had to tell Timothy, a lot of them had already gone out. Some of them became anti-Christ. You would be surprised why they became anti. They became anti because they wanted to circumcise. And I want y'all to see the prejudice in this. If they became circumcised, then that left the women out. The women couldn't be circumcised. So that's why God said, you know what? Now you got to be circumcised of the heart now, which that included everybody. But there were still those Jews that didn't want that. They still wanted to live by the old tradition. Like you got people now that still want to live by the old tradition way. So Christ revealed the total sinless of both Jews and the Gentile. And I'm trying to tell this story in a kind of direct way. And then he offered his salvation to both. The Jews and the Gentiles have a right now to salvation. No matter what color you were, where you came from, they both have a right to salvation. That's why I want you to see how important this lesson is. So Christ had destroyed the barrier between the people, and he had torn it down, and he began to build this new way of life, which was in him. That's why I wanted you to see, but now in Christ, it's working out, but now in Christ, this can happen. It could never happen without both coming together. And the only way could bring them together was Christ. Here's an interesting revelation I learned. When you look at the cross, you're going to see four different angles. You're going to see the front, the top, the bottom, the side, both sides, top and the bottom. So wherever you at, you can fit in the perimeter of the cross. That's a piece of revelation knowledge that you might want to receive. The other thing that I was sharing by his death, Christ ended argument. And now I can get into the new part. Well, you know what? Tomorrow, that's what I'm going to pick up, because I want to come out with some scriptures that's really important, because it had been predicted of what was going to happen on Calvary. In the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, 26th and the 27th verses. So let's go to the book of Daniel. Y'all bear with me here. Book of Daniel and the 9th chapter. And I want to go to the 26th verse, which reads like this. And after 62 weeks shall messenger be cut off, but not found himself. And the people of the prince, they shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Wow. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And until the end of the war, desolate are determined. Now, you ask, what that have to do with everything? That's what Calvary was about. How did Calvary affect the sacrifice of the system? It was torn down, the earthly sanctuary. So what really ended is what we're going to talk about this week. What really ended at the cross? Because remember, that's where it was all abolished at. So what did Christ abolish at the cross? The Bible says over, Colossians 2 and 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And I just like that. To his cross, Colossians 2:14, having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so that making peace, and that he might reconcile both of God in one body. Usually this is where we stop, and we just gonna put a pin right there. If anybody would like to have in the comments, got two of them here. We got 5 minutes here. before we do any comments. Okay, is this Pastor?
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor, and everyone. Amen. And thank you for your prayers. Colossians 2 and verse, you said verse 14, so I'm going to read 13 and 14. But did you go down to 16? So I'll be reading for the New Living Translation. It says, you are dead because of your sin. Okay? So it says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. So now we are alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. It says he canceled the record of the charges against us, praise God, and took it away by nailing it to the cross. I want to read that again. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Amen. And that 16th verse, and I'm on Jewish, it says, so don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or for not celebrating certain holidays or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. Amen. So thank God Christ disarmed all of that. It's a spiritual rulers and authority, you know, because it tells us in Ephesians that we wrestle against principalities and rulers in darkness. So that's all canceled away. We're new, as Pastor was saying earlier. We're new in Christ. So let us just act like it. Let us get this in our hearts and in our minds and know that we're new. All that old dead sin and sinful ways, that's not a part of us. We're not a part of that anymore.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Yeah, go ahead, Pastor. You are on this message here today. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, because, you know, so many of us, we allow the enemy to tell us, you know, you can't be free. You ain't free and all this kind of stuff because you did this and did that. But see, we have to let all that old way go. You got to know 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are new creatures in Christ. Christ paid the sin price, so there's no more sin. So let us walk forward and knowing what he's done for us and know that who we are, know who we are, and we are in Christ now.
Amen.
So back to you.
Amen. Having abolished. And I like what Colossians said. He said it blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. These were things against us, people. It's gone. Bye-bye. Matter of fact, it was contrary to us. It wasn't for our good. Now, I know it's hard for a lot of people to know this, but the law killed us. That's what Paul said in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. Couldn't keep that stuff. It killed us. We died.
Yeah. Amen.
We died. We died trying to keep it. But aren't you glad that Christ took care of it for us? He paid the price.
Amen.
He got rid of it. I like to say these people down in Georgia say they got shed of it. He got shed of it. All of that stuff that was against us, he got shed of it.
Praise God.
And
Amen.
He gave us a new. Now what we do is we go to him, but in Christ. See, that's why we don't have to keep the laws of Moses.
Come
we don't
on,
have
man.
To keep tithing. See, some people want you to tithe. Listen, brothers and sisters, that's not of That's Christ abolished that. He got rid of that. Like going to church, he got rid of that. That's gone.
Yeah.
I know we've been living it all our life because we don't know any better. But when you know better, you do better. He wants us worshiping him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
I thank you for it, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tomorrow we're going to pick up on Colossians 2. Let's see, we'll probably do 14, 15, 16, and 17 on tomorrow. I have read stuff about how this moral law should have stayed intact, because the Baptists in 1943, whatever you want to call it, that book they have, they was teaching that volume 57, like verse 10, paragraph 5, how they wanted the people to still decree this over their life. No, no, no. Don't decree anything that's not of God. New
law.
And let me put it to you, his new law. See, they still want to grab old stuff and bring it, and it's not working, brother and sister. It won't work. You can't use both blood. You're going to either use the blood of Christ, or you're going to use the blood of bulls, oxes, and ashes of a heifer. See, you don't have no choice in the matter that you can take both of. You got to do one or the other.
Amen.
And then we'll get into it, because in the book of James, see, if some people want to keep, and James said, now, if you done committed one, you committed all of them. If you kept one, you keep them all. You can't go and pick and choose, I'll go to church, but I ain't going to bring no blood. No, you got to do it all. And that's the missing ingredient that people don't get. You can't do half of this stuff. He said you guilty. If you broke one of Moses' laws, you guilty of all of them. Put that in your pipe and smoke. So, yeah, get rid of them laws, Lord. Get rid of them, period. Thank you for doing it. Now we can live upon the grace and truth, because Christ become our mediator. He takes care of anything that we had problems with or we can't take care of.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else want to chime in? I see Pastor Marilyn. Would you like to? Anybody? I don't put no pressure on nobody. No, anybody. Well, if not, thank y'all so much, especially you, Pastor. We'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word at Noon. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.